Alan, you know, it is so interesting that, and I think it's good that we as Christians, and certainly many Christian leaders, really take seriously the command to go when Jesus told us in Matthew 28, hey, look, all authority, all the power has been given me, heaven and on earth. And he told them, go. And a lot of people take that seriously. But something that really captures me in your book is how you share with us the importance of the go, but not only the importance of the go, but the importance, the significance of the come.
Yeah, I think it's always interesting to me, even just to think about the flow of the gospel story, that go command comes after these disciples have spent 3 years following Jesus, being with Jesus, growing in friendship with Jesus, witnessing who Jesus is. The first invitation to them was not a go invitation, but it was a come. You know, they're fishermen standing by Galilee, and Jesus says, come, come to me. And later he says, come, if you're weary, come. And he says, come follow me. And I think maybe just a little bit of a tweak that I would make is I'm completely with you in the sense that we go as servants, we go to be a blessing, we go to speak good words from the kingdom. But maybe it would help us if we thought about going with instead of going from. There's an odd way that in some ways it feels like some who are going away from this one to whom they've come. And I know that's happened in my life. I get so busy doing the work of God that I don't have any time for the face of God. And that's not what God's inviting us to. It's like my being one of those branches on the vine, to use John 15 language, but now I'm somehow oddly and frantically going around as a detached branch trying to bear fruit. And, it's not going to require a master horticulturalist to know that's not going to work.
That's right.
And so I think, I think the thing, I still remember I was in the Dominican Republic with a group of pastors, and we were talking about this invitation to come, and I think come to me was ven a mí, and so come to me. And they took that seriously, and they saw that as almost like God's invitation every single morning to them. Come to me, and then come follow me. Ven sígame, they said. Come follow me. And so that was the invitation that was going to take them into their day, and that became a rhythm for them. They almost imagined that every morning they were opening the invitation to come to Jesus, to enjoy Jesus, to listen to Jesus in Scripture, to share our hearts there. And then, as we step out into our day, we go with him. So the go is a relational going. It's an empowered going. It's a going with and not just a going. Does that make sense?
That definitely makes sense. In fact, I'll tell you something. As you talked about that, it really stirred up within me a sense of comfort in the going, because the way you put it, you allowed me, you empowered me to see myself in the right company when I go where I'm supposed to go, when I go. I'm with God. I'm going with God, as opposed to just going away. He's somewhere just kind of standing off watching or waiting for me to report back when I get back. He's going with me the whole time. Or I guess you could say it, in fact, the way you said it, I'm going with him as well. That is comforting.
Yeah. It's encouraging, and you don't feel alone. And, there's moments where the work that lies before us can feel a little overwhelming. Well, it's pretty nice to know that when we're in the yoke that Jesus has given to us, that he's inviting us into, that he really is carrying the heavy end of that. We aren't, even if it will still sometimes feel plenty heavy, and that's fine. Sometimes we hit hard stretches. I'm not trying to make, an unhurried living doesn't mean everything goes easy. It didn't for Jesus, but it's the idea of with, even to think about how many different times over the course of the scriptures, do you have some human leader who feels afraid? And God says some version of, I will be with you. You know, as Moses, as you go back to Egypt, I will be with you. Joshua, as you take the people into the land, I will be with you. See, I think we go in that spirit, that there is someone who's saying, I will be with you. Come to me. Come be with me. Mm. Come abide in me. And let's go together. And that's an empowered and enriched way to go.
You know, I think about people who take trips, ministry trips, even if it's just going to the next state on a speaking engagement. They're going to be preaching there, and they're by themselves on the plane, or they're by themselves in the car as they drive to their destination. And they're alone as far as having any other humans with them, and they consider themselves alone. And don't think about what you're sharing with us, that God is with them even while they're on the plane or even while they're in the car. He's there with them. Yeah. And even that part, it doesn't have to be a lonely type experience if we just recognize he's the one who sent us on the mission. He's going with us.
Yeah, and maybe even right alongside that, then suddenly you could imagine that maybe my ministry engagement isn't just the thing I'm heading for. Maybe ministry is just my life with God. You know, so many of the things Jesus does are he does on the way. You know, he's on his way somewhere, and then he stops and he heals, or he stops and he cares, or whatever. And I think the more we sort of cultivate this with God way of going, we begin to see people through his eyes. We begin to realize that any conversation could be an incredibly meaningful opportunity to be the voice or the heart or the hands of Jesus in that particular place. And so again, rather than defining somebody as an interruption to my plan, maybe I can hold those plans a little more loosely, be a little less hurried, and realize that person may have crossed my path as an absolutely divine appointment. And it may be the most exciting and beautiful thing that happens to me all day. And it wasn't even in my plan when I got up and left the house.
That is so true. So it sounds like one of the things that would help us, based on what you're sharing with us now, is to adopt the mindset that the same way the ministry goes on, and for that reason, we continue to go, our need to be refreshed, revived, encouraged, etc., goes on, continues, and so the coming continues. We don't just come once and never come again, but rather we keep coming.
Can you imagine? It's kind of like, you know, you come to this big throne room and you get an assignment. Now you leave. And I don't know, do you ever check back in? I mean, do you ever have to make a report? I don't know. But, you know, you watch the Gospels and that's not how it happens. You know, Jesus is going along and he invites a few to come and they go with him. And they are together pretty much all the time for 3 years. I think that's a model for what Jesus would love. And now by the Spirit, Jesus could do that with any one of us because, you know, he said, I'm sending one in my place. That one, the Spirit, can be with any one of us. And through the Spirit, Jesus could be with any one of us as a companion, as a lead, you know, servant, showing the way. And to me, part of the beauty of that is realizing, you know, whatever the work it is that I do, whether I'm in some kind of paid ministry role, as though that's the top echelon. I don't think it necessarily is. It's one place God might invite us to serve. But wherever we find ourselves, we could be servants under the great servant. We could be, you know, shepherds under the great shepherd, and realize that whatever it is I'm working on or whoever it is I'm seeking to serve, Jesus has already been up to something before I got there. And there's a sense of learning, if I slow down a little, learning to pay attention. Yes, this is exactly the sort of thing Jesus does. He says, you know, my words are not my own. I only say what I hear the Father saying. And he says, my works, they aren't my own. I only do what I see the Father doing? Well, I've kind of played with that. I wonder, how does he know what the Father's saying and doing? And I wonder if it isn't partly about this rhythm in the Gospels where it says Jesus often withdrew to lonely places to pray. Sir. That when he was alone, he wasn't alone. Mm. And he knew he wasn't alone. He was in a place of companionship. And that cultivated an awareness in him.
Alan, you also speak about questions. Can we begin the next segment with the discussion of questions that unhurry leaders?
You bet.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, get ready. We're going to be speaking more about some of these powerful principles that Alan Fatling includes in his book, An Unhurried Leader. We're going to be sharing questions that you can ask that can help you slow down. Questions that truly unhurry leaders in just a few.